Amen. Amen. One of the things that I've been sharing this year is from 1 Peter 2, and I've been sharing it out of the Passion Translation, and it has, I didn't know why God wanted me to do that this year, but I just did it because he asked me to. And it really applies this morning, because the reason we're here is that we're honoring what he says in this passage of Scripture. So in 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 16, in the Passion Translation, it reads, "In order to honor the Lord, you must respect and defer to the authority of every human institution, whether it be the highest ruler or the governors he puts in place to punish lawbreakers and to praise those who do what's right." Now listen to this part, folks. "For it is God's will, it's God's will for you to silence the ignorance of foolish people by doing what is right." And what is right means what is right by God's standard. Verse 16 says, "As loving servants, you should live in complete freedom, but never use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. Live your lives with great reverence and in holy awe of God. Honor your rulers." One of the reasons we're here by stream with you today is we are honoring our rulers. They have asked, because of this pandemic that the world is in, they've asked us, you know, not to have services, you know, with more than, actually the new regs say they don't want us to have any congregational services. Well, on a national day of prayer, and as most of us do every day, we pray for our government. We pray that they get godly wisdom. So when they share things with us, if we believe our prayers have been answered, then they're sharing from a perspective of godly wisdom. So we should listen. We pray, "Lord, give them wisdom." They share the wisdom, say, "Lord, we don't like it." No, we honor our rulers. And in doing so, we please our Father God. Do you understand? Whoever's sitting with you, tell him, "I didn't know he was going to say that this morning." Yeah, I know it's an empty room, but I can't help it. I am who I am. In John 10, because this, I had a very different type of prepping yesterday, and God took me places I didn't think we were going to go. But in John 10, verse 10, King James Version, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and to destroy." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that might have it more abundantly." Well, in light of everything that's going on, you know, with coronavirus, COVID-19, and, you know, all of the restrictions that we're living under right now, I started thinking about that scripture. Because, yeah, we consider this virus a thief, and its purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. But I had a different thought. I was wondering, if the thief, usually a thief comes and he steals because he wants your goods. So I was wondering, I said, okay, so why does he have to kill and destroy? If he wants to steal, why does he just come and steal? Why is he doing all of the other things? And again, the way I was thinking about it, I was thinking, you know what? The thief obviously wants more to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to disrupt, discourage, and he wants people to be afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of him. He wants the people to think, oh, the thief is going to come and this is what he's going to do, and oh, Lord, what am I going to do about it? He wants to change the way you think about your shepherd. Because if your shepherd is in place, then it, as Jesus said, you will have life, and you'll have life more abundantly, because when the thief comes, the shepherd's there. But if you can get the sheep over into fear, they no longer hear the voice of the shepherd, and what they're hearing is strange to them, and they scatter. They leave the confines or the realm of the shepherd, and they scatter, and they're out there by themselves. This pandemic has people, has even believers, forgetting what their shepherd has said because of the fear. And so I want to talk a little bit, actually I want to talk a lot of it about that today, because it's all right to have fear. It is. Fear comes. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. And it's okay, because fear has become one of the devil's more potent weapons. And like I said earlier, people don't think straight when they're afraid. But we need to understand that we don't have to give in to fear. God knew fear was present on this earth, and he put things in place so that we don't have to grab hold of and be ruled or held in bondage by fear. And we also don't have to feel guilty if we find ourselves afraid. The Bible tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation, even if you've been afraid, even if you were afraid. Now, I'm a big guy, and there have been times in my Christian life when I was afraid. When I was diagnosed with what I call explosive blood pressure, I was afraid. I knew I had knowledge of who I was in Christ, but I had put so much attention, put practically all of my focus on what high blood pressure did and can do, that I totally forgot things that I had learned about what God said concerning me. But God still, through that, and I had to go through that, after I had gone through that, he still elevated me to a position. He didn't erase me and say, oh, no, I can't use him anymore because he was afraid. So we don't want you, if you found yourself in fear, right now, just take a deep breath, just inhale and exhale, and just relax, because no matter what it looks like, God's word is going to prevail, and everything is going to be all right. 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7, I'm going to read it in the King James translation, and I'm going to read it in the Williams New Testament. It says, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." The Williams translation says, "For the spirit that God has given us does not impart timidity, but power and love and self-control." I confess this scripture all of the time. I've taught this scripture. This verse is clear. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. But again, the way I'm thinking about things, this is not telling me that I'll never be afraid. It's telling me that the source of my fear is not God. That's what it's telling us. So don't take that scripture and beat yourself up because you became afraid. This is telling us God is not the source of our fear. God can't give us what he doesn't have. And I know it's not correct English, but God ain't afraid of nobody. He doesn't have any fear in him. But look at what he did give us. He gave us power. He gave us love. He gave us a sound mind. And I was sitting down thinking, okay, well, why did he give us that? He gave us power so we could break the bonds of fear. He gave us love so we would know that he's got us covered, because perfect love casts out all fear. And he gave us a sound mind so that while in the midst of the fear, we can make right choices. While in the midst of the fear, we still remember who we are. And while we're in the midst of the fear, we realize that we still win. I mean, even in a fixed fight, you may get hit a few times, but the bottom line is you still win, but you have to get in the ring and not allow the fear of your opponent to grip you, regardless of his reputation. Fear has been here on this planet since the Garden of Eden. When you go to Genesis, you'll see that. In Genesis 3, verses 9 and 10. This is after Adam and Eve sinned. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Now, I never thought about this before last night, but I started thinking about it. And when you read about creation, nowhere does it say on a particular day God created fear. So what caused Adam to become afraid? And the obvious answer is, well, he was afraid because he was naked. I mean, that's what the scripture says. No, realizing he was naked was the result of something. Adam became afraid because he stopped believing what God said. He became afraid because he didn't pay attention to the instructions that were given him by God, and he did something different. He acted in a way that was different than what God planned for him, and as a result of it, he became afraid. Why? Because once you deviate, you don't know what's going to happen. And now all of a sudden, I mean, if you read that out earlier in that chapter, God says that both the man and the woman were naked. And they didn't have a problem with it. But Adam did something different. He started thinking something different than what God said, because God told them, of any tree you can freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you don't eat from that tree. Well, he did. He didn't take, because God said, the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, he didn't believe it. So he ate. And when he realized what he did, now he becomes afraid of what are the consequences are going to be. And to show you how fear affects your thinking, fear had Adam thinking that he could actually hide from God. Think about that. That's how sometimes we may think about things we shouldn't do, and we want to do them anyway, and we figure no one is going to know. But we have to realize God knows. And then once we come to the realization that God knows, we become afraid that, quote unquote, God is going to get us because of what we did wrong. No, we have to learn, and I believe we're going to find out, that the Bible has a lot to say about fear. But even though the Bible has a lot to say about fear and has given us much to overcome fear, we're not going to be victorious over it if we don't have faith in what God said. Often I'd come out and I'd greet the people. And I'd say, "How's everybody?" And they say, "Blessed." I'd say, "How do you know?" They said, "Because the word says so." And I would go, "And?" And then they'd say, "And I believe it." And I'd say, "That's right, because no matter what the word says, if you don't believe it, you won't have it." Fear is something that's present in the world, and you can feel it. I mean, when it's windy outside, do you feel the wind? We feel cold. We feel hot. I didn't have breakfast, so right now I feel hungry. You know, after a workout, I may feel tired. And these are real things. They're real conditions. They're real issues. But we don't have to be negatively affected by them, and fear is no different. There are real circumstances with real consequences, and if you've never faced them before, or you've never learned what to do with them or what to do about them, you could give into fear, into the fear that's associated with them. In Luke, this is where God wanted to go. I wasn't planning on going here. But God has this, I tell everyone, God has this habit. He thinks he's God, and he acts like it. And I don't have a problem with it. But Luke 1 gives us the account of Mary. We all know Mary was the mother of Jesus. And starting with verse 26, it says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Mary of the house of David, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary, not the guy, the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, the Bible doesn't say that she jumped up and down and said, Praise God, I'm blessed, I'm highly favored. It says she was troubled at his saying. And she started thinking, it says, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She's saying, what in the world is this? What's going on here? Well, I looked up the word troubled. It means greatly distressed. It means greatly distressed. Come on, memory. Greatly distressed, greatly disturbed, and greatly alarmed. That's what being troubled means. So Mary heard this, and she had great distress. She was greatly alarmed and greatly disturbed. And the angel knew that because he said to her, Fear not. And I made a connection. I was like, wait a minute. So there's some precursors to fear. There's some things that will happen inside me, within me, that will cause me to understand I'm about to get over into fear. And that's feelings of agitation, alarm, or disturbance. If I don't do something about it at that stage, I am a great candidate for fear to come in. Because the angel didn't say, Mary, don't be agitated. Didn't say, Mary, relax. He said, fear not. That's what he told her. Fear not. And he told her why. You are greatly favored. You have favor with God. And see, I connect dots. Sometimes I connect dots I shouldn't, but I connect dots especially when I hear things shared in the Bible. And I'm thinking, okay, I don't have to, if I understand what God says about me, I don't have to give in to fear. If God comes to me and says, Hail, Pastor Greg, you're highly favored, then I shouldn't care what happens to me. Because God said, I'm highly favored. And as long as I believe what God said, I don't have to give in to fear. But even if I do, it doesn't affect the favor I have with God. And somewhere along the line, God's favor is going to prevail. And just like I took on the fear, I'll take it off. and still continue to do those things that God has called me to do. Because Mary believed that she had favor with God, she never allowed the agitation, she never allowed the disturbance, she never allowed, you know, those things to cause her to grab hold of fear, because she understood favor. I want to tell you another account over in Mark 5. Hey, these are some interesting things that happen here. Starting with 21, verse 21 in Mark 5, this is the Passion Translation. It says, after Jesus returned from across the lake, a huge crowd of people quickly gathered around him on the shoreline. Just then, a man saw it was Jesus, so he pushed through the crowd and threw himself down at his feet. And his name was Jairus, a Jewish official who was in charge of the synagogue. He pleaded with Jesus, saying over and over, please come with me. My little daughter is at the point of death. I would say he was agitated. I would say he was disturbed. He wasn't at peace because his daughter, who was only 11 or 12, I believe she was 12 at the time, was sick and was going and to the point of death. Yes, he says he's only 12 years old. Come lay your hands on her and heal her, and she will live. I'm about to be afraid, Jesus. You come, lay hands on her, she'll be fine. Jesus went with him, and a huge crowd followed, pressing on all sides. So now this guy he's kind of calm a little, because he was agitated, he was troubled, he was disturbed. He got to Jesus. He said, Jesus, you come. Jesus agreed to come, and he's fine. Okay, that's fine. I believe Jesus is going to come and do what he said, so he's fine. But as they're walking, we practically all of us know the account of the woman with the issue of blood. She comes, and she touches the hem of Jesus' garment. Virtue goes out of him. Jesus stopped. Who touched me? And the people, like, in a crowd like this, you ask, who touched you? And he said, virtue went out of me. And he started scanning the crowd. And he saw this woman, and the Bible says she was trembling with fear. Trembling. And I was like, well, why was she trembling? Well, she had an issue of blood 12 years, and she heard about the healing power of Jesus, and she figured all I have to do is get to him. She had to go out in the open through crowds of people, which according to Levitical law was illegal. If anyone found out, she was to be killed. That's just what happened back then. And she knew this, but she was so desperate to get healed, and she had so much faith that Jesus would be the answer to her illness. Was she agitated? Probably. Was she disturbed? Probably. Walking through that crowd of people, was she alarmed? Yes, because she didn't want anyone to find out that she's out in public, out among people, and she's having this issue of blood. But now she gets called out because Jesus said, who touched me? And he scans the crowd. Now fear grips her. Fear grips her now, because now I'm going to be found out. I can't stay hidden in the crowd, you know, because he asked, who is he? Who touched me? And because I so honor and respect who he is, and because I felt the flow of blood in my body stop, I feel the healing taking place in my body. I don't care what they do to me. I'm not giving into this fear. I'm going to make myself known. But the fear had gripped her so much that in order to get out of it, she was actually trembling because she was so gripped with fear. It made her tremble, but it couldn't make her stop. And that's one of the things I want us to realize today. Yeah, you may tremble because you hear the statistics that seem to be stacking up with this coronavirus. Don't let it make you stop. Don't let it make you stop your trust and your belief in God, in Christ, and in who you are in Christ. Know that you have the power through your belief to break through the fear. And that's what this woman did. And she told Jesus all about it, everything that was happening. I'm thinking, what's Jairus going through? His daughter is sick at the point of death. Jesus, you said you'd come, and now you're stopping to talk to this lady. And the Bible says that the lady told Jesus the whole story. Now, I don't know if that was 2 minutes. I don't know if that was 5 minutes. Most people, when they give their praise report, they could start out with 4 score and 7 years ago. You know, so this guy was probably saying, can you speed it up? Jesus needs to get to my daughter. But after she told Jesus everything, then before he could even finish, it says that someone came and said to Jairus, well, let me finish this first. I don't want to get too far ahead. Because that woman didn't give in to fear, even though it had gripped her to the point where she was trembling, she broke loose from that fear, spoke to Jesus, and Jesus said to her, daughter, because you dared to believe, your faith has healed you. Go with peace in your heart and be free from your suffering. So, folks, when we realize who we are and we don't give in to fear, even though it's gripped us, we break through, peace comes in our heart. And now we're no longer fearful. Now we have peace. And we can go about our way peacefully, free of any suffering. Free of it. There's some out there, you know, you may have been diagnosed. You may have been tested for COVID-19 and the test came back positive. Break loose from the fear. Let peace fill your heart. You're God's child. You have favor. And plus, I'm going to probably share a couple other scriptures in a minute to let you know what the Bible has said concerning you and your health and your future. But yes, fear is going to come and it's going to wrap its arms around you. You've been given power, love, and a sound mind so you can break free, and you can break free because you know that God loves you and his love for you is perfect, and it's going to cast out fear because you know that because his love is perfect, whatever he said concerning you, he's going to do, and he's going to give you a sound mind so you don't lose your mind because of what you're going through. We want to understand those things so that when we start feeling the fear, we won't give in to it. Verse 35, still in Luke, but in verse 35, going back to Jairus, or Jairus, however you want to say it, it says, before Jesus finished speaking, that means before he finished saying to the woman, you know, go be healed of thy plague. Before he finished speaking, people came from Jairus' house, pushed through the crowd, and told Jairus, no need to trouble the master any longer. Your daughter has died. What is he thinking now? I come here. I go to Jesus. He says he's going to come. So I exhale, I have hope. He gets delayed with this woman, and now my daughter's dead. And fear was about to grip him. But Jesus refused to listen to what the people were saying, that the daughter was dead. And listen to what he said to that Jewish official. Don't yield to fear. All you need to do is keep on believing. He said, forget about what they said. You keep believing that I'm going to do what I said. I said, I will come lay hands on your daughter and she'll be whole. I want you to believe that. Don't yield to fear. Forget about the fear. Focus on what I said. And that's still the answer today. We focus on what Jesus said, forgetting about what's out there, because whatever's out there has to yield to what Jesus said as long as we believe it. As long as we believe it. And remember, I said earlier when I was telling you, you know, briefly my experience being afraid of high blood pressure, which, by the way, I ain't scared of it anymore. And I haven't had high blood pressure attacks since I stopped being afraid. Because once fear knows that you've taken it in, it keeps pouring it on. The moment you break through, it'll leave you alone because it doesn't work anymore. At one point, I was in the hospital 13 times in 16. I was in 16 times, 13 times I had to be transported by ambulance because of explosive blood pressure that I talked myself into, because I would say, I would become fearful whenever I was scheduled to minister, because every time I was scheduled to minister, my blood pressure would spike. And I would say that. Every time I'm scheduled to minister, my blood pressure spikes. Every time. And that's, I was having what I said. But here in this account, in Luke 22, verses 31 to 34, and I'm sharing this in the Living Bible, this is really different than what I intended. Jesus talking to Peter, he says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have you, to sift you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you that your faith, and listen to this, should not completely fail. So when you have repented and turn to me again, strengthen and build up the faith of your brothers. And Simon said, Lord, I'm ready to go to jail with you and even to die with you. But Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something. Between now and tomorrow morning, when the rooster crows, you will deny three times, declaring that you don't even know me. In verse 54, the religious leaders, and you know, they had Jesus arrested. They led him away. And you know, when the Romans arrested you back then, they didn't just say, sir, would you come with me, please? You know, and place you under arrest. No, they clubbed you. They smacked you around. They berated you. They mocked you. And guess who was watching this? Peter. Peter was watching the same Jesus who said, I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. The same Jesus who said, on that revelation, I'm building my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The same Jesus that said, and I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever is forbidden in heaven, you can forbid on earth, and whatever is released in heaven, you can release in earth. The same Jesus, he's now seen arrested and dragged off as a common criminal. Would that make you a little agitated when you see your hero carted off? Do you think that would get you a little alarmed? Do you think you would be disturbed by that? Well, I believe Peter was, because the next thing that happened is Peter became gripped by fear and he started acting based on fear. Remember, this is the same person who not too long ago said, I'm ready to die with you. But now he's watching what they're doing to Jesus. He's watching them. And he's following, the Bible says he followed at a safe distance. And he sat down next to a fire to stay warm. And a girl noticed Peter sitting in the firelight. And she started staring at him. And she pointed him out and said, this man is one of Jesus' disciples. And Peter flatly denied it. Why did he do that? He was afraid. He was afraid. A little while later, someone else spotted Peter and said, I recognize you. You're the one. You're one of his. I know it. And Peter again said, I'm not one of his disciples. About an hour later, someone else identified Peter and insisted he was a disciple of Jesus, saying, look at him. He's from Galilee. Just like Jesus. I know he's one of them. But Peter was adamant. He said, listen, I don't know who you're talking about. Don't you understand? I don't even know him. Why did he say that? Why did he deny Christ? He was afraid. And fear had gripped him. He watched what the Roman soldiers were doing to Jesus. And he figured if they could do that to Jesus, they could do it to him. We're watching what this pandemic is, how it's affecting other people. And we're figuring if it can affect them, it can affect us. And we allow fear to just wrap us up. If I had anyone in here, I would have them come up and I just demonstrate just being wrapped up. So sometimes you can't move. Sometimes you get so afraid, it feels like you can't even breathe. Peter was greatly agitated. He was troubled. And now that he might be identified, and now he's identified, well, he was over into full-blown fear. But you know something, folks? In Isaiah 41, God told us, fear not. And he told us why. He said, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. He said, I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So no matter what comes, we can fear not. Yes, we may get agitated. Yes, we may get disturbed. Things happen that are disturbing. Yes, we may get alarmed, but we don't have to roll that all over into full-blown fear. And even if we do, all we have to do is remember what we've been given. Power, love, and a sound mind. So my sound mind can overcome my state of agitation, my state of alarm, my state of being disturbed, because I've been given a sound mind and I believe it, I don't have to be gripped up by fear. No matter how it presents itself. And I'm telling you something, folks, fear is going to present itself in some alarming ways. Because if it doesn't, you won't take it seriously. And fear wants to be taken seriously. Fear wants us to believe it is more powerful than anything God said. But Philippians tells us that God highly exalted Jesus and gave him a name that was above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in earth, above earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The same Jesus, yes, I'm going to use the same scripture that I quote this about every time I'm in front of you, Luke 10, Jesus said he gave us power. Physical and mental, according to the Amplified Bible, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power the enemy possesses, and nothing shall by any means harm you. Nothing. Even though, yes, didn't say nothing will agitate us. It didn't say nothing will disturb us. It didn't say that nothing will cause us fear. He said nothing will by any means harm us. So even if you do find yourself over in the throes of fear, that fear can't harm you if you allow your sound mind to remind you who you are in Christ. Because and once you understand who you are in Christ, the next responsibility you have is to believe it. We have to remember, folks, who we are. We have to remember what Jesus provided. We have to remember what God has said, and we have to trust that what Jesus provided and what God said is enough for anything we ever face, even fear. I'm going to share these two with you. I'm going to close in a couple of minutes. In Acts 27, when Paul was arrested, he told the folks that an angel stood next to him saying, "Fear not, Paul." Why do you think an angel, God had to send an angel to tell Paul to fear not? Because Paul was agitated. Paul was alarmed. Paul was disturbed. And the next step from that is fear. And God told Paul, fear not. And he gave him a reason. He said, fear not, because you must be brought before Caesar. He said, and God has given you everybody that's with you. Because you read the account in Acts 27, that's about the shipwreck. But he told, in that conversation, he told Paul, oh, by the way, you will be shipwrecked on an island. Okay. So Paul, because he believed God, and he told the folks, he said, don't be concerned because I believe God and I believe it's going to be exactly the way he said. Cool, everything's fine. So that means Paul knew he was going to be shipwrecked. He knew it. So he was prepared for that. God never told him he was going to be bitten by a snake. Never told him that part. It's like, oh, God, you left something out here. No, because Paul, remember, we've been given power, love, and a sound mind. Paul's sound mind said, God said, I must stand before Caesar. So just because the shipwreck couldn't take me out, this snake is not taking me out either. And he refused to let fear of being bitten by a poisonous snake that no one was known to survive bother him. He shook it off in the fire. If it came from the fires of hell, let me send it right back where it came from. And he continued to do the things that he was destined by God to do. We have a destiny, folks. There are things that God expects us to do, and fear's job is to stop us. 2 Corinthians 7, verses 4 and 6, Paul said, great is my boldness of speech towards you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all of our tribulations. For when we were coming to Macedonia, when we'd come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without, we're fighting. That means all around them, there was fighting. And it says, within were fears. So he's saying, we're troubled on every side. There's fighting going on all around us, and we have this fear inside of us. Why? Because of all that's going on around us. And that's what happens, folks. We let what's going on around us affect what's going on within us, and that's a breeding ground for fear. But remember, power, love, sound mind. Power over all the power of the enemy. Fear is just the power of the enemy. Love, God's love, his perfect love that casts out fear because we know he loves us, and because he loves us, he's going to do everything that he said. And a sound mind said, in the midst of gripping fear, I can remember everything God has said concerning me. For when we come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fighting, and within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. God will always provide us a resting place, a place of comfort. And in spite of our fears, or I should say, just because you became afraid of something, don't think that that knocks you out of the box. Don't think that takes you out of the picture. It doesn't. It means you're human. It means you're human, folks. God knew we were going to be afraid. That's why he keeps telling us, fear not, fear not, fear not. And if you are afraid, it's okay. When you get yourself back together, just like he told Peter, strengthen someone else. And you can do this because God didn't give us a spirit of fear. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. Amen?